The first case of the deadly coronavirus.
More than 200,000 people have now died.
350,000 COVID deaths.
500,000 confirmed deaths.
Life and loss in America have taken on new meaning in the past year.
To get through this pandemic, we have all put on our armor.
In The Longest Year, a four-part series from the PBS NewsHour, Americans share the ways a tiny but powerful virus has changed us. The medical community raced to keep up. The racial divide across the country came into sharper focus. And life as we knew it turned upside down.
My mother was the hugging type. I miss those the most.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted, The Longest Year, wherever you listen to podcasts.
The trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin is set to begin soon. Chauvin is accused of murder in last May's killing of George Floyd, a death that set off nationwide unrest. As special correspondent Fred DeSam-Lazaro reports, the city is bracing for what's to come.
Downtown Minneapolis has become a fortress of barbed wire, concrete barriers, and boarded windows. As Derek Chauvin's trial approaches, the city will see a dramatic increase in law enforcement, including about 2,000 National Guard troops. It's all aimed at preventing a repeat of last spring, when unrest following George Floyd's killing led to hundreds of millions of dollars in property damage.
Many people in Minneapolis will tell you this city is exhausted after riots and destruction, a spike in violent crime, the pandemic, and winter. And community groups point to fortification around the court complex like this as evidence there's been very little progress in improving relations between law enforcement and the community, especially communities of color.
Miski Noor is an activist with a group called the Black Visions Collective.
Folks right here, right now, don't have housing. I would have spent that money in a way that actually meets people's needs and cares for them so that they can make different choices about their lives and have more agency to do that. And so I think that would go a long way to creating safety than putting a guy with a gun in front of a building.
Fred, how you doing there?
Mayor Jacob Frey says the city is trying to strike a delicate balance.
We right now need to operate through an abundance of precaution. We need to make sure that our residents are safe, our small and local businesses are safe, our commercial corridors are safe. And to those that seek to cause destruction and chaos in our city, we want to be very clear, you'll be arrested. To those that look to peacefully protest, however, they will be protected.
Back in June, Frey faced a large group of protesters, including Miski Noor, who pressed him to commit to defunding and abolishing the city's police department, a movement that gained traction here after Floyd's death. When Frey said he would not, demonstrators jeered.
My position has not changed a lick. I believe that we need safety beyond policing. I believe that we need to decriminalize addiction, that we need mental health responders. And I recognize that we also need law enforcement and police.
The city council did cut about 4% from the police budget, allocating that money to prevention initiatives. Minneapolis Police Chief Madaria Arredondo declined our request for an interview. For now, all eyes are on the courthouse, where a jury will decide whether former police officer Chauvin is guilty of second-degree murder and manslaughter. State prosecutors will likely focus on the video showing Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck for about 9 minutes. But despite the now infamous footage, law professor Ted Samsel Jones says a conviction is not guaranteed.
If you get one kind of outlier juror, someone who's a bit of a contrarian, or someone who just views the case much differently than the rest of us do, that can be enough to prevent a conviction. There are a lot of people in this country who are just deeply sympathetic with police officers.
Samsel Jones says Chauvin's attorneys will likely argue other things might have actually caused Floyd's death, like a medical incident before police arrived. They'll also point to autopsy results showing multiple substances in his body. But prosecutors will likely note the autopsy also ruled Floyd's death a homicide. Even with a conviction, some in the Twin Cities aren't sure it would have a meaningful long-term impact.
The very nature of a trial narrows down the issue to a focus that may not deal with any kind of systemic change at all.
Local history professor Bill Green says he's hopeful, but says he's seen this play out before in a city that's long had tense police-community relations.
Periodically, there have been efforts on the part of city leaders to launch reform efforts, but that would oftentimes be short-lived because of the inability to sustain pressure from a community that is beset by all kinds of other issues beyond just policing, so that the momentum that began during a period of protest began to subside. And I fear that that may be what's going on now.
Chauvin's case has seen lots of legal maneuvering. Today, the Minnesota Court of Appeals ruled that the trial judge must reconsider a state request to add third-degree murder to the charges Chauvin faces. The move could delay jury selection, which was scheduled for Monday. Chauvin's three co-defendants, former officers charged with aiding and abetting murder and manslaughter, are set to go on trial in August. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSamlazaro in Minneapolis.
Fred's reporting is a partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.